Emmaus. They had left Jerusalem, and they were on their way to Emmaus, about 7 or 8 miles from Jerusalem. Afternoon, Sunday afternoon, after Christ arose from the grave on Sunday morning. And our Lord joined them and walked with them for a while. And you heard the message this morning. Then in verse 28, when they drew nigh unto the village, Emmaus, whither they went, he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us. It is toward evening." It's getting later now. "The day is far spent." So he went in and to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as they sat at meat, he sat at meat with them. There were three of them, these two men and our master. He took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Now it's late in the evening. I can imagine it's 6, 7 o'clock even, Sunday evening. Nevertheless, it says in verse 33, they rose up that same hour. They left the table and they returned to Jerusalem. This 7 or 8 miles. Here they go back to Jerusalem. They knew the house where the 11 disciples would be assembled. And so they headed that way. In verse 33, they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11. All 11 apostles, with the exception of Judas, who had betrayed our Lord and hanged himself. And them that were with them. Evidently some of these women were with them in this room, in this house. They were talking about the Master's resurrection. For the next verse said, saying, now this is not these two men, Cleopas and Luke, talking. This is the 11. They came into the house. And these 11 disciples and the people who were with them, they said to these two men, "The Lord is risen indeed." The Lord is risen. That's, they greeted him with that word. The Lord is risen. And he hath appeared to Simon. He hath appeared to Simon Peter. He did appear to Simon Peter before he appeared to the other disciples. Now Mary saw him at the sepulchre. You remember? Turn back to Mark chapter 16. Mary saw him at the sepulchre. But the other disciples had not seen him, none of the 11. But here in Mark chapter 16, these women came to the tomb there, and they saw the stone was rolled away. Verse 4, it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. They were afraid. It was an angel. And he said unto them, Be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. And go your way and tell his disciples and Peter. Tell his disciples and these angels added and tell Peter. That he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall you see him, as he said unto you. And they came. And our Lord, in between that time, and when he appeared to the 11, he appeared to Simon Peter. Peter had denied him so shamefully, so terrible. I want you to read that. I went back and read it again. I want you to read it with me. It's found in Matthew chapter 26. Peter's great denial. You know, Peter boasted in front of the disciples. He boasted. The Lord said he was going to Jerusalem. He'd be killed. And And Peter said, "Why, he said, all of you'll be offended. He said, I won't. I'll stand with you even to death. I'll stand with you even to death." And our Lord said, "Peter, the cock will not crow 3 times this night before you'll deny me. 3 times. And here it is in Matthew 26. It says in Matthew 26, verse 69. The soldiers, Matthew 26, verse 69. The soldiers mistreated him. Then, in verse 68, they said, "Prophesy to us. Are you the Christ? Who smote thee?" Now, Peter sat without in the palace. Evidently, our Lord was hearing the soldiers all, and Peter was sitting right outside. He followed the Lord there. The scripture tells us he followed the Lord down to this soldiers' hall where they were brutalizing him and mistreating him. And Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, "Why, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee." Peter denied before them all, saying, "I don't know what you're saying." This is the man said, "I'll never deny. I'll go to death with you." This is the man who loved Christ. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." This is a man who's afraid, deeply afraid. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said to them that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know that man." After a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them. Your speech betrays you." Now, he's going to let them know he's got another way of talking to. Your speech betrays you. And it will too. So he began to curse. Verse 71, four, he began to curse and to swear. He said, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock crowed. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crows, you'll deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept. Can you imagine? Bitterly. His heart in him was a stone. He had denied his Lord. He had cursed and sworn. He had an opportunity to confess Christ, to glorify God, and he cursed and swore, and he said, "I don't know it." And our Lord, in great grace and mercy and goodness and love, sent an angel to tell these women to go tell my disciples and tell Peter. Tell Peter that I'm going to meet you. I'm going to meet you. We know from Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians 15 that he appeared to Peter first. Our Lord's gracious, forgiving, loving, kind as people. Jim, the Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. He is a forgiving, loving, good shepherd. He'll never forsake us. We'll forsake him. We deny him, but he'll never deny us. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5. It said, verse 4, he was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And he was seen of Peter. And then of the 12. Don't you know? Well, I wouldn't even try to touch that reunion when Christ arose and met Peter. And Peter had wept bitterly. I imagine he's still weeping when he met his Lord. Christ forgave him. He'll forgive you of every sin. I never will forget when a dear, dear friend of mine killed himself. Shot himself in the head and died. And it was told to one of my sons, it was Paul, that this man with whom they grew up, whom they loved, preacher of the gospel, had killed himself. And Paul said, well, the Lord who forgives the first sin will also forgive the last sin. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven except one. That's to deny the gospel. That won't be forgiven. Well, I had to dwell on that a little bit because the disciple said that the Lord's risen and he indeed, and he's appeared to Peter. He talked to Peter. Peter was the oldest. Did you know that? Peter was the oldest. Peter was the spokesman. Peter was embarrassed. He was humiliated. And the Lord reached down and lifted the weak disciple and fallen disciple and restored him right back where he was. So don't leave. Don't go away. Just confess your sins and be forgiven by a loving, gracious master. That's so. All right. Verse 35. So now these men speak up, and they told the 11. They're one of that 70. I told you that this morning. Cleophas and Luke, they were not of the 11 disciples. They weren't of the 12. They were disciples, but so they came in where these men were meeting, and they told them what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. I want to dwell on that just a moment. Cleophas and Luke, their eyes were holding, and they didn't recognize the master. The Lord did that on purpose. He veiled their eyes because he wanted to talk to them. He wanted to reveal the word of God to them. But when they came in and sat down at the table, it wasn't the Lord's table, that is, communion. It wasn't the table, the Passover, that sort of thing. It was just a meal, just a common meal. Here was three men, the master and two men. And they sat down to bread. And that's when our Lord revealed himself to them. That's when their eyes were opened. He took that bread and thanked God for it and broke it. They said, we know who you are. And I'm saying this. An ordinary meal, no matter if one of us sits down or two of us or three of us in our homes, let it be a time of breaking bread and giving thanks to God. Doesn't that be a big table loaded with people where you ask somebody to grace the table? Our Lord, when he sat down with these two men, graced the table. Offered thanks to God. Blessed the bread. I tell you, when it's blessed, it goes down better. Doesn't it? Might stay down better, too. All right. So he blessed the bread and made himself known. And as they thus spake, these men, here's the 11, here's the women with them, here's these two, Cleophas and Luke. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, himself, and said unto them, peace be unto you, our Lord himself. You see, our redemption was undertaken back before the foundation of the world, undertaken by himself. Our redemption was accomplished by himself becoming a man, himself. Our redemption was accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ giving himself for our sins. The scripture says this, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of God. The scripture says he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The scripture says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And how wonderful this word is. As they spake, the Lord himself stood in their midst and said, my peace I give unto you. My peace. The Lord himself. Isaiah wrote, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall be with child. Just sometimes take a concordance and go through the scripture and read how many times that word used, himself. Himself. See, only Christ can save us. Only Christ can redeem us. Only the Son of God can, himself, can put away our sins. But verse 37, they were terrified. They were afraid. They supposed they'd seen a spirit. This is not the first time that I've read that reaction. Our Lord told his disciples that he would suffer and die and be raised the third day. He told them that over and over. Peter had seen him. The women had seen him. Told them that. But still here they are unbelieving. It's amazing. Here they are afraid. Suppose they'd seen a spirit. They went through this another time. Turn to Matthew 14. We're so human. And these men, I can identify with them so well because they're so human. But here our Lord walked in the room and stood there in front of them, and they were afraid. They thought they'd seen a spirit. But back here in Matthew 14, verse 25. Verse 24 says, "Now the ship was now in the midst of the sea and tossed with waves. The wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea." Came walking to them. "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled." They should have been comforted. They should have been filled with joy. But they were troubled. They were afraid, saying, "It's a spirit." And they cried out for fear. "It's a spirit." But straightway Jesus spake to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It's I. Be not afraid." How many times does he have to tell us that? "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. Be not afraid. My peace I give unto you. Be still and know that I'm God. Why are you troubled? Why are you troubled?" Look back here at our text. Verse 37, they were afraid, they were terrified, supposing they'd seen a spirit. And he said, "Why are you troubled? Why are you troubled? Why do these thoughts of doubt and fear arise in your hearts? Is anything too hard for God?" That's what he said to Sarah. God said, "You're going to have a son." She lied. He said, "Anything too hard for God? Why are you afraid? Why are you troubled?" I like what Paul said to old Agrippa over here in Acts 26. Acts 26. You know, these marvelous miracles that I'm reading about today and preaching about, Christ raised from the dead, Christ appearing to his disciples, Christ walking along in the flesh. His quantity of his body, body hadn't changed, the color of his body, the shape of his body, the manliness of his body. Here he's walking along with them. And they didn't know him. He failed their eyes. But when he did reveal himself, they frightened. He said he'd rise. Listen to Acts 26, verse 8. Paul speaking to King Agrippa. And he said, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" Why would these disciples, they'd been with him, they'd seen him raise the dead. They saw Lazarus walk out of the grave. They saw the widow's son rise from the coffin. They saw the blind heal. And yet, they were still afraid. Is anything too hard for God? God who spake the world out of nothing. God who made this complicated, wonderful body we have out of the dirt. Breathed into it the breath of life, and it became a walking, living, thinking, speaking, hearing, seeing soul. And for him to restore someone from the grave, is that too hard for God? Why are you troubled? Why do these thoughts arise in your heart? Is it too hard for God to do that? Is it incredible that God should raise the dead? Look at verse 39. "Behold my hands and my feet, touch me. It's I myself. I have people often ask me, will we know each other in heaven? He said, touch my hands. Reach over your hands. And I know they did. I know Peter did. I came out up there, took him by the hand. His feet, one of the women married, I guess she was always at his feet. Well, that's where she wound up, at his feet. Handle me. The spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as you see me have. Listen, my friends, a real man redeemed us. A real man lost our soul, and a real man restored our soul. By man came death, by man came life. That's right. He said, I am a man. Flesh and bones, hands and feet. Touch me, handle me, and see. A spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have. I see so many things that I see that Christ himself redeemed us. Christ the man redeemed us. When we chose a high priest that chose him from among men. In Adam we die and Christ we made alive. God's law was upon man. Man had to keep it. Man had to die. The justice of God had sentenced man to death. So Christ died as a man. He was raised as a man. He came back as a man. He went to heaven as a man. And there's one God and one mediator between God and men, and that's the man. Let me show you that. And that's in 1 Timothy. That's the man. By man came death, by man came the resurrection, the restoration, the salvation. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, this is there's one God. You see it? One God of heaven and earth, creator. There's one mediator. Not a half a dozen, not Mary, St. Jude, the priest. Just one mediator between God. And he didn't say between God and man, mankind. He's not everybody's mediator. He's a mediator between God and men. His men. Believing men, not unbelieving. Unbelieving men don't have a mediator. All mankind doesn't have a mediator. If we had a mediator, we'd all be saved. But there's one mediator between God and men. And that is the man. The perfect man. The holy man. The God-man, the crucified man, the risen man, the ascended man, and the man who is our great high priest in things pertaining to God. Vital, that's so vital. And that's the reason this verse 39, I'm not a spirit, I'm not a ghost, Christ said, I'm a man. And if there's one man in glory, there can be another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. And all these men and women here, because that man is the mediator of these men. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of hosts. Many. But I'll tell you something else I see here. Let's read verse 40. And he said, it's I myself. Handle me and see. So when he had thus spoken, he showed him his hands and feet. And I know they touched him. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said, do you have any meat? And they had a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. That's good eating. Our Lord, our great shepherd, stand there. You have something to eat? And they hand him that fish. And our Lord took it and chewed it. Took that honeycomb, just ran down his hands and ate that honeycomb. He's showing us what our glorified bodies are going to be when he takes us out of the tomb. See, he went to the tomb. That's where we're going someday. He came out of the tomb. And we're looking at him here like he came out of the tomb. It's I, myself. He had the scars in his hand. You remember? He told Thomas, he said, look, see the scars?
Look at my side. That's where they put the spear. It's I myself. What do we need? What else do we need? It's I myself. Hands and feet. I'm eating with you. I've got flesh and bones. The brother man, the Bible says, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Not our kind of flesh. Lost flesh, sinful flesh, natural flesh, but his kind of flesh. Glorified flesh. When he died on that cross, he died in the likeness of sinful flesh. When he rose from the grave, he arose in the likeness of divine, glorified flesh. Let me show you that. First Corinthians 15. This is so plain that when you read it, if you haven't seen it before, you say, where have I been? With veiled eyes, that's where. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. Some man will say, well, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. It's got to die. This body's got to go back to the dust. God said that. And that which thou sowest, thou knowest not the body that shall be. You plant bare grain, maybe wheat, maybe corn. When you sow corn or grain, you don't sow what's going to be. You sow the shriveled, wrinkled, dead piece of corn. But God gives it a body, designed by Him, as it pleased Him. And every seed His own body, and all flesh is not the same flesh. It's the kind of flesh of men, that's what we've got now, natural flesh. There's a flesh of beasts. There's a flesh of fish. There's a flesh of birds. There's also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one. The glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. One star differeth from another in glory. So also is the resurrection. It's sown corruption, natural flesh. It's raised incorruption. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. Boy, talk about power. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body. There's a spiritual body. As it's written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, man, was made a quickening spirit. That was not first which is spiritual. Old Adam was first revealed. But that which is natural. Afterwards, Christ was revealed. And that first man is of the earth, earthy. And that second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, so are we who are earthy. As is the heavenly, so are they who are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, thank God, we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say unto you, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither corruption inherit incorruption. But I show you a mystery. We'll not all of us die, but bless your heart, we're going to be changed. That's right. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Changed into his image. David said, I'll be like him. I'll wake with his likeness. So there you're looking right now at you and me when God raises. Let me show you somebody else eating. Turn to Genesis chapter 18. I told you a while ago about those angels that appeared to Abraham and Sarah. Genesis 18. Look over here. Genesis 18, verse 1. The Lord appeared to him in the plains of Mamre. He sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the ground. He said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves on the tree, and I'll fetch you a morsel of bread. Now, he's talking to the Lord. It's the angel of the Lord here. I'll get you some bread and comfort ye your hearts, and after that, you just pass on. But now, therefore, are you come to your servants? And they said, so do, as as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened to the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it, make cakes upon the hearth. Abraham ran unto the herd, fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it to the young men. They dressed it. He took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it down before them. And he stood by under the tree. And they did eat. Heavenly beings. I read a while ago, over at the house a while ago, about a crystal water coming from the fountain. And I read about 12 trees with fruit in their season. Good eat. I'm looking forward to some of the meals I'm going to have in his kingdom. In his kingdom. All right, I've got to quit. And verse 44, he said, these are the words that I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. And then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Let me show you 3 things, and I'll stop. They had the Scriptures before, but they didn't understand them. The Pharisees had the Scriptures. Our Lord said, you search the Scriptures. In them you think you have life. In my early life, I had the Scriptures. Didn't know anything about them. It takes a revelation of the Spirit of God to understand the Scriptures. He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. You see that? Now the second thing, he didn't open their understanding without the Scriptures. He expounded to them the Scriptures. Then he opened their understanding so they could understand it. He didn't give them understanding without the Scriptures. People who are taught of God are taught with the Scriptures. I teach the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has to make it effectual. But he won't make it effectual without the Word. I can't close this book and run up and down this platform and out here and up that aisle and down, screaming and yelling, carrying on a bunch of foolishness, and teach you the Scriptures. Our Lord spoke to them and said, all the things Moses wrote and the prophets and Isaiah, what you read a while ago, he told them. And then he opened their understanding and said, this is what it means. He opened their understanding, but not without the Scriptures. Not without the Scriptures. And the Spirit teaches by the Scriptures, not without them, and never contrary to them. Never. He never teaches contrary to the Scriptures. He always teaches the Scriptures. That's the gospel. He opened their understanding. In verse 46, he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name, in his grand and glorious name, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Sidkenu, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah my God and Savior, among all nations, and begin at Jerusalem, and you witnesses of these things.